Okay, we have the privilege to learn the third Aliyah of Parshas Bamidbar, and it's coming right before Shavuos, as it tends to do, as it's supposed to do, and right after Yom Yerushalayim. And there is a common theme here in this Aliyah specifically that really links those occasions, which is one of our most ancient Yom Tovim Shavuos, one of our most recent Yom Yerushalayim, and they're actually linked by the theme of flags, which happens to be the topic of this third Aliyah. So we'll have a lot to say about how exactly these concepts relate to each other and what they have to tell us. So let's jump in. The Aliyah begins with the beginning of the second parak of Bamidbar, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe V'el Aaron L'imor. So here, that's already significant. The Rosham Shnefal Hirsch notes that when you have Aaron included in a commandment here together with Moshe, so that's generally because there is a message that's related to the education of the people. It's part of the role of the Kohen. And here, that's very much the case, that what we're going to read about in this Aliyah, the whole formulation of the camp together with the flags, and the flags directed towards the Ohel Moed in the center, towards the Mishkan, is to highlight that this is a common mission that unites them all, that is near to them all, and embracing of all of them, and drawing all of the Jews toward itself, towards the Mishkan, with great power. So the reference specifically to the Mishkan as Ohel Moed, and that's what the next pasuk tells us. So that is there in order to highlight that this represents the mission. So the notion of Moed as an appointed place, appointed time, is also reflective of that fact that we're dealing with a mission here, and that that's the message that the flags are meant to direct our attention to, in a sense of unity. So here the pasuk tells us, the pasuk beis, ish al diglo ba'osos, this language, Vishal Diglo Osos, we know that this represents the fact that all of the flags had the symbol of their tribe with the color that appears on the Choshen. And there's an interesting Medrash Pliya here that tells us that we should read the Osos as Osios, and that Bilam saw this and said, how can I curse them? So it's a little mysterious, as it would be, as to what exactly is going on there and what's the message. And the Sefer Lev Aaron, Zatmer, so he notes a couple of different approaches here, all circled around the concept that you find in Yalkut Ruveni, that also on these flags were the names of the Avos. So the three Avos put together, you have 12 letters, as we'll explain in a second. And the first set was Aleph, Yod, and Yod. And then the next set was Beis, and Tzadi, and Ayin, and so on. Until through the four sets of three, you get to all the names of the Avos. But there's one letter that doesn't fit. That's the He of Avram. That He that was added to his name. And that He kind of floats above them. So he has there a number of different drushes on what exactly is the message there specifically. Hey, it represents Anivus, it represents the family, it represents Hashem, all different kinds of angles on it, but essentially how that is what highlighted that there is a mission and a designation here that made it clear to Bilam that he's not going to be able to get in their way. He's not going to be able to interfere. So beyond that, as we said, the flags are not just a topic of the Parsha, but it's also relevant to Shavuos. And Chazal tell us that when the Torah was given at Har Sinai, the mountain was surrounded by malachim, by angels, who were carrying flags. And when the Jews saw this, so they wanted flags of their own, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu complied, and that's what the pasuk conveys in Shir HaShirim, Haviyani Alvei Sayayin, Vidiglu Alvei Ahava. He brought me to the house of wine, And his banner over me, his flag over me, was love. So that's a statement that you can find in the Medrash from Baraba. So that's a fascinating idea, especially with also this imagery of the house of wine. Rav Kook had a comment about that idea, about the house of wine, why that's the imagery here. And he wrote that wine removes inhibitions and allows your true personality to come out. And what happened at Har Sinai, it's not only that we're receiving the facts of the Torah, it was the creation of a national identity of a people, of a klal, of individuals who merged their identity to become Klal Yisrael. And thus we became greater than the sum of our parts. And we're not defined anymore by details, but rather by this collective essence. So the flag is able to speak to that collective essence, and that becomes especially appropriate. Rashid Kambiavner of Goldberg has a lengthy discussion about this. He gets into similar themes at greater length, where he emphasizes this idea of the flags and the Klal Yisrael, that we know that everyone has his own unique individual chelek within Torah, within the Jewish people, that no one else could accomplish, no one else would be able to take over for him, no matter how great they are, everyone has their own chelek, and this all is meant to be developed for the service of the klal. And in this context, he cited the Sfas Emes, and he often would cite the Sfas Emes commenting on the Mishnah in Avos, and the Mishnah says, "Emeina nili mili, ukeshani la'atmi ma'ani." So what does that mean? It means that "Emeina nili mili," that if I'm not going to develop my individual kochos, my unique possibilities and potential, so then mili, so who else is going to do it? Nobody else can do it. It's only me who can do what I am meant to do. But kishani la'atmi ma'ani, why am I developing these kochos? Am I doing that just for my own sake? No, I'm doing it because that makes me a part of the klal. That makes me a part of the tzibur, contributing in my unique way. So the notion that the Medrash was conveying, that we saw the angels with the flags and we decided we wanted to be like them. So he discusses that as well, that the midah of an angel is that an angel is devoted to a mission, is created for a mission, and he is completely committed to that mission. So the flag, which is able to represent this kind of a goal, that kind of identity, is something that is particularly appropriate for angels, but it's something that Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, when they're so inspired by this mission, they wanted that. They wanted to have a mission-focused identity as well. And that's what also perhaps the Gemara is getting at. The Gemara says in Shabbos that the Jews said Master Benishma, and the reaction was, how did the Jews figure out how to be so angelic, how to have the midah of the angels? They explain that the idea is that that notion that we're going to be committed to our mission, we say, not to the mission, whatever it is, we're here for that, we're down for that. So that's the midah of angels, that they have that kind of devotion. And that's what he represents. So he goes on to note that it's very striking that the Haftorah for the Parsha from Hosea, so there, quotes the pasuk is right there, which seems to contradict some of what we have in our parasha. Hayom mitzvah b'nei Yisrael kechol hayom, asher lo yisafer v'lo yimad, that the Jews will be like the sand that can't be counted. So what happened to the whole idea in our parasha, where we are counted as having individual identities and contributions? And it discusses that, especially the whole imagery of sand, it all is tiny units, they all come together to make one big, powerful speech, one entity. So, yes, that's true, but it doesn't happen by negating the individual identity. It happens because everyone has developed who they are, and then do so with the goal of connecting that to the cloud, connecting that to the Tzibur, and that's that powerful message. The Sefer Mishnah Socher, which is the Torah of Rav Teichtel, who would write the Eim Havonim Smecha, but he first went through the Holocaust. So he quotes there from a Chazal that talk about a notion of there being a consistent theme of a bracha of sand, that because the message is, the imagery is, that sand goes through the fire and it comes out as glass. And so too the Jews, they go through the fire and they survive something clear and beautiful. And of course that resonates very powerfully with his experience, but also the experience of the Jewish people then and after in trying to build the state. So here we talk about how this is the week of Yom Yerushalayim and this notion of flags, which is so relevant here as well. Rav Soloveitchik commented, and you can find this in a few places, but it's written in English in the book The Rav Speaks, in the five addresses. So the Rav commented that you should appreciate that the Israeli flag has halachic significance. And he quoted a din in Shulchan Aruch that somebody who's been martyred, somebody who's been killed as a Jew, so he's buried together with the bloody clothes. So you see here, the Rav noted that the clothes that the Jew wore when he was killed take on a certain kedusha. And he went on to say that this is all the more so true of the blue and white Israeli flag, which is immersed in the blood of thousands of young Jews who fell in the war of independence defending the country and the population. He wrote, it has a spark of sanctity that flows from devotion and self-sacrifice. We are all enjoined to honor the flag and treat it with respect. That's how the Rav wrote. So this whole notion that the flag represents the mission and the unifying message of the mission, and together also with this idea of the quality of the Jewish people being like sand, and they're able to go through such fires and to come out with something powerful. So that's also very much conveyed here. And in a different comment to the Mishnah Sacher of Taisa Lost writes that this language of Osos, the base of Osom, specifically the connection to the ancestors, he writes there about how the success really comes from following in the derech of the ancestors and understanding that that's the mission. And he has the Omahas there, he quotes, this was discussed at a bris at that time, when he was bringing this from, that we say to bris, kashem shenechtos abris, kashi kanaz perukhupu maisin tovim. So the parallel there is that just like at the bris, one is following in the footsteps of his ancestors by entering the bris, so too that should be the pattern that he takes on throughout his whole life, and he should continue to follow in that path even as he goes through these other milestones as well. Just look a little bit more at this Sukkim. The Pasuk Gimel starts talking about the formation of the camps there. Achonim, Kegel, Mizracha, Degel, Machna, Yehuda, Lusiv, Osam, Benasid, Ibn Yehuda, Nashim, Benadav, Utsvolf, Kudeham, Abba, Vishivim, Aleph, Hashesh, Meos. This is a formulation that you're going to see repeated again and again through this Aliyah. So this idea of Utsvolf, Kudeham, as the first comment, that the Tzvo, the army, is the army of him, of the Nasi in each case. He's there to follow his orders. But we're also reminded that Pipidehem, that they have been counted, they're counted for their tribe and for the whole nation with a recognition of this mission, as we've been referring to. So they're going to follow the strategic orders of their Nasi, but they're already brought in, they're already conscripted towards the cause of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's going to be what defines them and what defines what they do. So the Sukkim go on for a while now, quoting along those lines, and just to say a little bit about some of the flags, some discussion in the Midrashim and in the Rishonim and elsewhere about what the flags were. So we have descriptions of the flags, and we also have conflicting descriptions of the flags. But just to pick out a few about which there's some discussion. So, for example, Pasuk Yud talks Dago Machne Ruven, Temanu Zulasav, and also Ruven Elutzer Ben Shteyur. So the flag of Ruven, according to the Targum Yonasan, was made out of silk, and the three colors of the stones, Nofech, Tapir, V'Alom, were in this flag. And also were written the names of Reuven, Shimon, and Gad. And in the middle was written Shema Yisrael. And there was also a picture of a small deer on the flag. Rabbi Bachya has a different picture. He writes it was a red color. and it had a picture of Dudayim as the flowers that Reuven became associated with. And the Sefer Otsa Plos HaTorah, he quotes from the Yad Ramah in Sanhedrin that the Dudayim, they were the shape of a person, so they had this fertility significance because they represented, the one who ate them represented that they were bringing about a person. So that was perhaps on the flag, maybe it was a picture of a person-shaped flower that was on the flag, and that was part of the imagery of Reuven. You'll notice that, as you continue looking through these names, maybe you'll notice that Pasuk Yidal, it says, Amate God, the Nasil of Negod, Eliasaf ben Reuel. So if you spend very careful attention as you're going over the parasha, so if you look earlier, also in Pasuk Yidalid, but in Pasuk Yidalid of the first part, so there he's called Eliasaf ben Deuel. So Pasuk Yidalid in Parag Vez is Ruel, and in Parag Aleph Pasuk Yidalid is called Ruel. So the Ramban comments over here that names are not given because they sound nice, they're given because of their meaning. So sometimes you find that people are identified by different names that have similar meaning. So that's the idea here also. It's very similar sounding, but one letter off, and it represents that both are formulations of the same idea, that one should direct one's mind to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so either that's in the form of Das, as Reuel, or in the form of Rayon, as Reuel, but they're both meant to convey the same idea. And then we see go on a little bit further, and it's got another one with this discussion. So, Parak Hasek Yichas, Zdego Machna Ephraim, Mitzil Oslam Yamav, Nothim Ephraim, Lashem Ben Amihud. So, Zdego Machna Ephraim, it's a popular phrase, it's a Svarim title, so many Svarim, either called Zdego Machna Ephraim or Machna Ephraim. So, what's the Zdego Machna Ephraim? So, here the Targum Yonasan writes, the Gan is made out of silk, and it had again three colors of the stones, Lachem Shol Lachom in this case. And it had the names of Ephraim and Menashe and Binyamin on it, and also the pasuk Vanan Hashem Aleihem B'yom Ben Osam Ben Hamachne, and it also had the picture of a boy. And the Midrash Rabbah has that it had a picture of an ox, and the Sefer HaPliya writes that it had a picture of a fish. So we have different things to try to visualize. You read about these flags, it's fascinating that there is a lot that goes into trying to paint that picture. So another example of that, if we skip the Pasuk of Hey, is Dego Machane Don. So Fono Tzivosan V'Nosav Meidan Uchi Ezel and Mishadai. So here the Targum Yonasan says again, silk, and again the three colors, Tarshish, Shoham, and Yoshva, and the names of Dan, Naphtali, and Asher, and the Pasuk of Anuchi Yomar Shuvah Hashem. And it has a picture of a snake, but the number of the Rishonim, and Ibn Ezra, and the Ramban, the Chizkuni, they write that it had a picture of a Nesher, that we normally translate that, often translate that as an eagle. So a number of the Sfarim write, it's not a contradiction in this case, that it could be both. It could be a snake and an eagle. It could have been that it was a snake with eagle wings. That's an even more exotic picture to try to imagine. So in any event, the Aliyah continues along this theme, listing the various tribes and the various flags, and it ends off Pasuk Lamed Dalet Vayatsu Bnei Yisrael Tuchal Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe Kein Chonu Vizigleihem V'chein Notu Ish Mishpachotav Al Bei Savotav. So here Rav Hirsch, as is his wont, he has a long discussion about this formulation, about the formation of the camp with the different tribes in the different places, and he discusses the symbolism that each one has. So just to convey a little bit of that, so he writes that you have Yehuda and the Shofar and Zvulun, so they're in the front, and the Shamshon of Fal Hirsch writes, he's commenting here, we're discussing what this all represents, that they're up there in the front because they combine all the basic elements that are needed for the spiritual and material welfare of the Jews. So Yehuda, the king, he represents both the rulership and also lawmaking, so that's crucial for society. And Yisachar represents agriculture, and we know Yisachar is famous for learning also, because he had time from his agriculture to also be involved in learning. So we have here agriculture and scholarship. And Zvulun, who we know is well known for doing business and commerce, but he was also, his descendants were involved in writing literature. So he writes all these aspects of commerce, literature, agriculture, scholarship, and rule, and law. All of this are the basic spiritual and material necessities of the Jewish people. So they are in front. And then on the right side, he writes that you have the theme of courage to fend off insults and attacks under the aegis of gentle mercy. Because you have Reuven, who has intellectual gifts and a keen sense of justice, but he was too soft of a character for national leadership. But he's flanked by Shimon, who is the impetuous avenger of honor, and God, who the Pesukim convey in Vayechi, is also the avenger of unprovoked attacks. So you put them all together, that's what you get. You get this courage to fight off the attacks under this aegis of gentle mercy. And then on the left side, so he writes, you have a rich development in the direction of spiritual creativity, because here again he's referencing how the Shvatim are described in Parshas Vayechi, that Dan is the tribe of adroit cunning, he puts it. Asher is the refinement of taste, and Naphtali is eloquence. So you put all that together, that's the spiritual creativity. And then to the west, it's a little bit harder, right? But you have Ephraim primarily, gets the most attention, his explanation. The Binyamin doesn't have so much to say about why he's there, but Ephraim he focuses on. Ephraim and Manasseh are presumably together because they're really one Shevet of Yosef. But regarding Ephraim, which where he focuses his explanation, yeah, you look to what Yaakov says to him in Parshas Vayechi, over there a little bit earlier, and you write that Ephraim is about strength and courage for the national well-being. Therefore, our position should all be facing, that group should be facing the camp of Yehuda, Yehuda and Reuven. And this is because of the strength that is associated with him, that is conveyed with Yaakov. So all of this is very fascinating to think about, but also this together contributes to the picture of what this Aliyah is describing for us, that we have Klal Yisrael as an entity that is made up of all of its parts, and that all of its parts are crucial. And this is a fundamental theme also when it comes to the Kabbalah Satorah. We know that the Kabbalah Satorah was given to the Jews all as one. And if anyone was missing, then we wouldn't be able to receive it. That we need everyone together in order to create that unit with all of its kofos for the Torah to be given. Now, the Talmud Rebbe commented that we know Chazal tell us that, it's a little counterintuitive with our focus of Shavuos as the time left in Torah Seinu, but we know that that giving of the Torah didn't last. It was only later on, the Torah is given on Yom Kippur, that lasted, this Torah, the Luchos were broken. And Chazal say that Eim HaChayofim HaNatnius, that the first giving of the Torah wasn't as successful because it was given with such pomp and circumstance. And the second giving, Vitznias, that's the one that lasted. So he asks there, so then why didn't we just start off that way? So how come version one didn't happen, Vitznias, and maybe it would have been more successful the first time? And he explains that still we need all that because we need the inspiration to understand that we are not any longer avodim la'avodim, so we are avodim l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we have this mission and we have this purpose. So therefore, this whole context with all of its excitement and all of its show was crucial, even though it came at a cost. But it gave us the inspiration to recognize that we have a mission. In the biography that was written about Daniel Kahneman, the famous behavioral economist, psychologist. So he is Israeli. He was born in Europe, and he was there during the Holocaust, and then he came and he fought in the war for independence. And he's quoted in that book as saying that even though people were dying then in Israel in 1947, so one could think that, okay, you went from the frying pan into the fire, so they were dying in the Holocaust and they were dying then. But he said it was so much more bearable because they had a sense that they were fighting for something. And that makes all the difference. So to be able to have this appreciation and to recognize what the mission is so crucial. And that's really what Shavuos helps to connect us to, helps to connect us to that mission more than any of the details specifically, but the totality of what Klal Yisrael is and why that is so important and why that is so crucial. So we have this goal of finding our own chelek in Torah. It's one of the 48 kinyanim in the Torah, Makir es Makomo. We should find exactly where our chelek is, and that we remember the kolos sevrakim of Har Sinai, which is a mitzvah, one of the zechiras. The Torah tells us we have to remember how the Torah was given, not just the Torah itself, but how the Torah was given, the context of that, and to appreciate what that means for us and how that inspires us. So with that, I will give you the bracha that you should have indeed a Shavuos that is inspiring and uplifting and exciting and elevating, and especially as Shavuos is connected to Shabbos this year, so the Shabbos that we read about, these Degalim of Bamidbar, should contribute to our sense of appreciation, both of the unity of Klal Yisrael and the mission that unites us and what that means. And through that, we should be uplifted and inspired. And I look forward to seeing you after Shavuos, where we will take that inspiration to supercharge our learning for the rest of this month, so that we can truly do honor to that Talmud Torah that we are charged with over this Yantif. I wish you all a wonderful Shabbos and a wonderful Yantif, and I look very forward to seeing you afterwards.